One thing that travel teaches us is the importance of home. Hi, I'm Rick Steves. No matter how far I roam or how many wonders I encounter around the globe, I'm always glad to return to the same small town I grew up in, Edmonds, Washington. It's where I know my neighbors and the local shopkeepers, where I run into old friends at the coffee shop and the local pub. It's where every corner holds a memory. Traveling gives me fresh perspectives to bring back to my own community. It inspires me to cherish and take good care of my own little corner of this planet. In the hour ahead, we'll talk with some amazing travelers about their homes and communities and what they've learned by leaving them. One of these travelers is champion long-distance swimmer Diana Nyad. She was the first human being to complete the treacherous swim across the open sea between Cuba and Florida. It was 111 miles through shark-infested waters where a single sting from a box jellyfish could mean instant death. And she completed this journey at age 64 on her fifth try. Her grit and persistence and her unwillingness to give up on her travel dream are an inspiration to the adventurer in all of us. I asked Diana why she was so determined to complete this epic swim from Cuba to her home state of Florida.
I grew up as a kid during the revolution, looking out over that water, saying, Where is it? Where is that forbidden, mystical land of Cuba? And my mother used to say, you know, I don't know. I can get you a plane ticket. You don't need to swim. Although, so that's been the constant joke, you know, all through the years.
Oh, man. What was your message to the crowd who gathered to greet you when you finally accomplished this?
I was dazed, both physically and emotionally. I had never thought of, though they were simple words, but I had never planned them, rehearsed them, thought of them ahead of time. And there were people weeping because they felt their own lives. They watched someone and a team who just refused to give up. And I just stood there and said, barely able to speak, you know, with the swollen mouth, et cetera, and said, yeah. I've got three things to say. One, never ever give up. And there was a roaring of applause like that. Yeah, that's what we want to hear. And the second was, you're never too old to chase your dreams. And isn't it the truth? And the third was, it looks, and I was going down at that point. I've seen that video. I barely got out the last word, but I said, it looks like the most solitary endeavor in the world, but trust me, it takes a team. And when I said team, I kind of hit the floor, hit the beach. That was the last word I had in me.
Now, why the Cuba to Florida journey? Is that sort of the ultimate, is that the Mount Everest of open ocean swimming or something?
It is. It has been considered that. There are two factors to it. One is just the clear, you know, number of obstacles that are out there for a swimmer. I mean, clearly you can't swim a distance like this in the polar ice caps. But other than that, if you and I were to grab all the nautical charts of the Earth's surface and put them down in your studio across the floor, we couldn't find a more difficult swim, a more challenging swim with the number of obstacles. Vegas rated this swim at a 0.004% chance of anyone making it, because you've got that huge raging Gulf Stream that is screeching to the east six times faster than your swim speed. You're trying to go to the north. Within that stream, you've got counterclockwise eddies, some of them a quarter mile across, some of them 25 miles across. Once you get into the arm of one of those swirling eddies, you're done. You can never get out unless you're in a boat or you get out on the boat and you quit. Then you've got the, you know, the raging seas that come up. You're out in a dead calm. 2 minutes later, literally, a 60-mile-an-hour wind pops up because those winds come off Africa, and they come traveling across the Atlantic 6,000 miles. So I could go on and on. It's just it's a potpourri of difficulties for a swimmer, and it has been called the Mount Everest. Then on the other hand, what attracted me to it and many people is history, geography. I dare say I don't think there's a more storied body of water on our planet today than that, you know, that stretch between Florida and that forbidden island that since 1959 we have not been able to visit and they have not been able to come here. So that was clearly part of the draw for me, was connecting our peoples.
Now, let's talk just about some of the reality of being out under the sun in the salt water, nibbled at by jellyfish, all of that. You had quite a lot of gear on you just to be protected, didn't you? I mean, swimming is to be free. That's one of the anthems of a swimmer. But you had all that gear on. That must hamstring that experience a bit.
It was hell to swim with. You know, when we say nibbled by jellyfish, it's a bad verb, Rick, because there are jellyfish, thousands of species of jellyfish, most of which are not pleasant. You know, nobody likes to go under the sting of a Portuguese man of war, but nobody, as far as I know, has ever died from any of those stings except for the box jellyfish. And there are actually many hundreds of species of that animal, too. But the particular box that now swarms between Cuba and Florida is deadly. Most people who have been touched by that tentacle die instantaneously. I wore a thin, what they call a stinger suit, and I wore latex gloves, very surgeon's latex gloves. They make swimming difficult.
On a swim like this, it's 53 hours. Do you get a break on the boat?
You can't
touch the boat the whole time. No sleeping.
No, there's no sleeping. There's never touching the boat. You can't get out on the boat. It's done.
Hydration, eating. How did you take care of all that?
Yeah, you come over close to the boat. Your trainers hand you either a camelback hose so that you can use all fours to tread water and take that down, an electrolyte liquid. Uh-huh. I'm usually taking about 700 calories an hour. Here's the thing. You can never take in the amount of fuel you're expending. So you try to eat, you try to drink, and now your stomach's upset. They call it the iron stomach. Who can last? Who can continue to take in calories when you're feeling very poorly? I think my muscles would have gone beyond those 53 hours, but honestly, I'm not sure my stomach could have taken in one more ounce of anything.
Did you actually get seasick while swimming?
Oh, yes. You're always seasick. I mean, you know, you're bobbing around. The wind whipped up on
so
that first
throwing
night.
Throwing up, literally.
Yeah. You're vomiting, and you lose a lot. You know, it sounds like a lot of fun, doesn't it?
It's not my kind of vacation.
But, you know, the truth is, let me just say that there are times when you look up and see the 4 billion stars you can see literally above. You've read Stephen Hawking the night before. You have a sensation that you're swimming over the curvature of the earth. There's a high to being in that kind of shape and traveling across the ocean, as well as your vomiting. You've got it all.
Sounds like the whole package. Diana, you made a point to close your book with a quote from Henry David Thoreau. What you get by achieving your goals is not as important as what you become by achieving your goals. Why is that resonating with you?
It was the whole point of the Cuba swim. It wasn't some athletic event. It wasn't to set some record at all. It was about living life large. It's who am I? Am I the person I can have a high regard for? Am I a person who commits to a big dream that maybe is untouchable, maybe can never be done, but it's worth the journey of who I might discover within myself, of tapping every fiber of my potential? Yes, even if I had never made it to that destination, the journey was worthwhile. I'd rather dare greatly and fail than to sit on the sidelines and be the cold, timid soul who will never know success because he's not willing to know failure.
That's Diana Nyad talking about her world record-setting swim from Cuba to Florida in 2013 at the age of 64. We can learn a lot from her determination to never give up, no matter how daunting the obstacles in front of you. The challenges we face today as a nation and as a planet are pretty daunting as well. But I like to take heart in her assertion that it's through teamwork that phenomenal things can happen. And if we work together, seemingly insurmountable obstacles can be overcome. In today's divided society, that's a powerful, a positive, and an important message. Wherever you land on the political spectrum, if you're listening to this public radio station, you know the value of a news source that brings you actual facts and intelligent perspectives, rather than just opinions of pundits or the bluster of politicians. Information that informs you rather than polarizes and takes sides. In these times, we need that more than ever. Please, take a moment right now to affirm your support for the media that you've come to rely on. High-quality journalism. This has never been more important. This station is vital to our democracy. Become a contributing member to this public station, and you're making a difference. Renew your annual membership if you're all on board. We are in this together. Please, do it now. We're counting on you.